Tonight I want to preach a sermon entitled, The Power of Faith, The Power of Faith. Verses that we read from Romans were about the man Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he was able also to perform. I'm not going to preach about Abraham tonight, but I want to use him as an introduction to my message. I want to talk about another man that had a powerful faith, the man called Caleb. And again, his faith can teach us some things about the kind of faith that we ought to have. So I want you to take your Bibles. I want to turn back to the book of Numbers, where Caleb's story starts. Numbers chapter 13. And we're just going to read some verses from Numbers chapter 13. And if you're going to use your Bibles tonight, I'm going to ask you to turn to several passages of Scripture in Numbers and then in the book of Joshua, so you can just keep them open there to the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 13, let me just read some verses from this chapter, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Skip down to verse 6. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And then skip down to verse 8. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Joshua, the son of Nun. Then skip down to verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Joshua, the son of Nun, Jehoshah. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land what it is and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities there be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And then skip down to verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I want to say four things about the power of faith. Again, these are all true in the life of Caleb. I'm going to use his life to illustrate them tonight. But they also ought to be characteristics of our faith, characteristics of the faith that we have in our God. Number one, the power of faith, if it has to, stands alone. It stands alone. It certainly did in the case of Caleb. Now, Joshua stood with him. They were two of the 12 spies that went to, that Moses sent to spy out the land of Canaan. But they were only two. Used to sing a little song about the two spies that came back and said, we could take it, and the 10 that said, we can't. And so two out of 12 said, we can take the land of Canaan, which the Lord God has promised us. There was only a few of the 1.5 million Jews that were probably on the scene at that point in the nation of Israel that said, God promised he can do it. God promised us this land, and only a few said, as they were debating whether they were going to go in or not, said, God said he's going to give it to us. We're not going to stagger at the promise of God. We're going to believe that he can do what he says he can do. And it doesn't matter. You see, faith is not the result of the majority. It's not dependent on a majority vote. It's not dependent on the belief of the masses. The power of faith is individuals believing that God is able to do what he's promised. Here's Caleb. Only he and Joshua of the 12 spies agreed. Here's Caleb. Only Joshua and a few others, Moses, Aaron, and there were probably a few others in that nation of Israel that existed at that time, that said, we can take the land. We can, because God said we could do it. Caleb said, he said, let's go up at once. Let's possess it. For the Lord God has promised it to us, and we will be able to overcome it. Again, faith is not dependent on the majority. Faith is not dependent on somebody else. Your faith does not depend on the faith that your mom and dad had. Your faith is not dependent on the faith that your grandpa and grandma had. Your faith is not dependent on other people in your family, the faith that they have. The power of faith is dependent on you. On you as an individual. Do you believe that God can keep his promises? Do you believe that God can do what he says he can do? Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved. He said, if you have faith, you could talk to this tree and say, hey, this, and the tree will be moved into the ocean. He said, all you need is a little grain of faith. And again, our faith is not dependent. The power of faith is not dependent on others. It's dependent on us. When David got ready to go fight Goliath, King Saul didn't think he could do it. He said, Goliath is a warrior. He's a champion. And you're just a youth. You can't do it. Abner, who was David's general, or Saul's general, in charge of the army, he didn't think David could do it. David's brothers, he had three older brothers that were in Saul's army fighting the Philistines at this point. And they didn't think he could do it. They said, why are you here anyway? You just want to see the battle. Who's keeping those few sheep that you're responsible for? And they did not think that he could do it. But it didn't matter. The question comes to David, and the question is this. David, do you think you can do it? Doesn't matter what Saul said. Doesn't matter what Abner said. Doesn't matter what the army said. Doesn't even matter what his brother said. David, do you think you can defeat Goliath? And here's what David said. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. The power of faith. Your faith does not depend on others. It depends on you. And the power of my faith does not depend on the faith that you have or that Adam has. The power of my faith depends on me believing that God is able to do what he can do. It stands alone if it has to. Number two, the power of faith stands regardless of the obstacles. We read about some of them. Let me go ahead and read some more, starting in verse 31 of chapter 13 of Numbers. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched until the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. The men that went with them, the other 10 spies, says, hey, yeah, that's a good land, but there are big people that live there. There are giants that live there. And in comparison to them, we're like little grasshoppers. I mean, we saw them. They were big. They had big muscles in the cities where they lived. They weren't made of tents like Moses charged them to go and see. They're walled cities. And they have trained armies. And they know how to fight. They know how to win. And again, compared to them, we're just like a little bunch of insects who will be crushed by the giants that live in this land. Now, how's that for a pep talk to an army about going into battle? Huh? Wouldn't that encourage you? Wouldn't that build up your faith and determination to go in and take the land? Caleb said, look, hey, don't look at the obstacles. Look at God. Don't look at the giants. Look at our commander-in-chief. Don't look at how hard it looks. Look at the one who promised that he'd give us this land. Too many of us get our eyes on the problems, and we fail to see who has the answers to our problems. Too many times we get our eyes on the sicknesses and the diseases, and we fail to see the great physician. Too many times we get put our eyes on man, and we fail to see God. The power of faith says, I got a God who can do anything. The power of faith says, I got a God who can do the impossible. The power of faith says, is there anything too hard for God? So, tonight, get your eyes off the cancer. Put your eyes on the great physician. Tonight, get your eyes off the broken relationship and put them on a God who can heal anything. Get your eyes off everything that's wrong and put them on God. The power of faith stands alone if it has to. The power of faith stands regardless of the obstacles. Number three, the power of faith stands through the passage of time. Take your Bibles, turn over to Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, look down at verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now, look down chapter 15, verse 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. You can read their three names there. The children of Anak. The giants. The people that were bigger than the Israelites were. I'll just stop and think about it. Here's a man that's 85 years old. He was 40 years old when he was sent to spy out the land. He came back and said, we can take it. But everybody else, except for Joshua and a few others, said, no, we can't. And they turned and they walked away from the promise that God gave them. And God caused them to wander in the wilderness for 45 years. 45 years. Everybody over 20 died in that 45 years. Everybody that was over 20 when the spies went into the promised land, they died in the next 45 years. Aaron died. Moses died. Joshua was appointed the leader. They'd already crossed the Jordan River. They'd had that miraculous victory at Jericho. They'd had the defeat at Ai, and then they got sent out of the camp, and they went back and they defeated Ai. And they'd had victory after victory after victory. Now Joshua's dividing up the land. There's still battles to fight. There's still armies to defeat, but they're dividing up the land among the tribe, different tribes. And Caleb comes to Joshua, and he says this, "Hey, you remember when Moses sent us to spy out the land? I was 40 years old when we did that. I was one of the ones along with you that came back and said, hey, let's go take it. God said he'd give it to us. Let's go take it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nevertheless, my brethren, those that went with me, made the heart of the people melt." When they brought up their evil report, when they brought up about the giants being there and the cities being walled, the people decided not to go. And Moses made me this promise 45 years ago. He said, the land that your feet has walked on is going to be yours. It's going to be yours, Caleb. It's going to be yours. I promise it to you. Now just think about it. 45 years wandering through the wilderness. 45 years watching your friends die. 45 years with probably a funeral every single day because somebody else has died. And Caleb says, I'm now 85 years old. I'm just as strong now as I was when I was 40. And not too many of us can say that. Reg probably can, but not too many of the rest of us. I'm just as strong now as I was when I was 40. I know his mind's just as sharp as it was 45 years ago. But he said, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. And here's what he says to Joshua. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Anak lived there. He was the father of giants. His three sons, whose names I didn't read a moment ago because I didn't want to try to pronounce them, they were giants. They were still giants. And they probably had kids that were giants. And Caleb says, I still believe, after 45 years, after watching millions of people die, I still believe that God is able to do what he promised 45 years ago. I'm glad we got a God that doesn't get old. I'm glad we got a God that doesn't get tired. I'm glad we got a God that doesn't change. What he promised, he will do. He'll do it today. He'll do it tomorrow. He'll do it 45 years from now. He'll do it 100 years from now. The power of faith says God doesn't change. My faith can go through time. The power of faith, it stands alone if it has to. The power of faith stands regardless of the obstacles. The power of faith stands through time. Number four, the power of faith is contagious. Joshua chapter 15, again, look at verses 16. Look at verse 16. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sepher and taketh it to him, will I give Asha my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave Ashko his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Here's Caleb's nephew. Here's Caleb's daughter. I don't know how old they were, if they were even alive, when Caleb went to spy out the promised land. Maybe they were just children. when their uncle and their dad went in and was one of the spies. Maybe they were just kids when he came back and gave the report. But they watched him for 45 years. Let's say they were kids when he went in to the Promised Land. For 45 years, they watched this girl, watched her dad, this nephew watched his uncle. And for 45 years, I think Caleb told his family, he said, "We're going back. We're going back. And God's going to give us that land. That land that we saw, that we walked away from 45 years ago, we're going to go back. And God's going to give it to us." I'm sure they were standing around when their dad and uncle went to Joshua and said, "Hey, Joshua, I want that mountain." I think Hebron was the hardest place, the hardest city to take. I think it had the biggest army. I think it had the biggest giants. And Caleb said, "I want that one. I don't want any of these cities that will be easy to take. I don't want any of these places that the army's small and the people are just regular size. I want the hard one. I want the place where the giants live. I want the place where the city is walled and big. Because I got a God that said he would give it to me. And I believe God could do it." And this little girl who grew to a young lady, and this little boy who grew to be a young man, saw the faith of their dad and saw the faith of his uncle. And when Caleb issued a challenge and said, "Hey, whoever will go over there and take this city, I'll give him my daughter for his wife." And his nephew, and it was okay back then for cousins to marry, but his nephew said, "I can do that. I can take that city. If Uncle Caleb can take Hebron, if Uncle Caleb can go and fight all these three giants and take the biggest and baddest city in the whole land of Canaan, then I can go and take this one." And he did. He did. And his Uncle Caleb gave him his cousin for his wife. And this little girl, who had grown into a young lady, said, "Hey, Dad, you've given us this land, and we'd like some water. We'd like some springs." And Caleb said, "Okay, I'll give you this one and this one. But there's still giants that live there. It's not just you can walk in and take it. You got to go fight for it." And his little girl, who had now grown into a young lady, said, "No problem, Dad. No problem. The same God that you believe can keep his promises is the God that I believe that can keep his promises. And the same God that gave you that city, the biggest and strongest and baddest city in all in the land of Canaan, the same God that gave that to you will give us these two springs." You see, the power of faith is contagious. You see, our children and our grandchildren and the little kids that run around this church, they're going to have the same degree of faith that mom and dad does, that grandpa and grandma does, that their Sunday school teacher does, that their preacher does. They're going to have that same kind of faith because as they see it lived out in our lives, as they see us trust God, as they see us not stagger at the promises of God, but believe that God is able to do exactly what he said he could do, they're going to have that same kind of faith. That's the kind of faith we need. The kind of faith that says, "Hey, if I'm the only one that believes God can do it, I still believe God can do it. If the cities are big and walled and there's giants, doesn't matter to God. He can still do it. If God decides to keep his promises after a number of years, hey, that's okay. He's still God. He's still God. I'm going to live out this kind of faith. I'll tell you what. I don't want to get to heaven and have one of these little boys or one of these little girls come up and say, "Hey, preacher, if
you would have believed God more, I would have believed him more. I want him to come up and say, hey, preacher, you believed God could do anything, and so did I. So did I. The power of faith. Let's claim it. Let's claim it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that faith. Thank you that you've given us a good example, like Caleb, that we can learn from about what our faith should be. And I pray tonight that every single person here, every person that knows Jesus as their Savior, that as we grow in our faith, we would grow and have the kind of faith like Caleb did. Father, I pray tonight if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they'd take the first step of faith. The Bible says you give to every single person a measure of faith, enough faith to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so tonight, if there's just one person here who hasn't exercised or acted on that faith that you've given them and received Christ, I pray tonight they could see themselves as a sinner. They could see the penalty of that sin. And again, using that faith that you've given to every person, they would come, believe that Jesus died for them, believe that Jesus could save them, and tonight they'd receive them for themselves. Again, if there's one, if there's two, if there's more than that, I pray you'd help them come and receive Christ. Use this time of invitation as you see fit. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to do what you tell us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.